Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show.
Siren Media Group is a multimedia company.
They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of
aid. I think there's still a lot of hope for us to progress.
We are continuing last week's topic of the complex business, social, and political street mind of Tupac Shakur.
Being shot is either going to leave you with one of the two keys, either bitter or better.
Siren Media Radio, topic today is a family secret. Incest and molestation.
It's devastating.
It's the job of the parents to protect the children.
So our topic today is, should college student athletes receive payments?
That person, the college, is making probably about $4 to $5 million a year off that person.
Siren Media Radio. So our topic today is, my baby is a gangster like me. Hereditary gang membership.
The recession is getting bad now for the whole world. But it's really been bad for poor people in America for a long time.
Because those of us who walk around free of incarceration have figured out a way to institutionalize ourselves.
As generations of poverty who didn't believe that they could rise above their class, their stature, their education level, tried to get in where they can fit in.
There have been many of our people across the country from all walks of life who have taken it upon themselves to try and pool their ideas and to come up with some kind of solution to the problem that confronts all of our people.
What's good, people? Today is Thursday, May 7, 2015. You're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show. I'm your host from Michigan, Dwight Rock Walker, General Manager of Siren Media Group. And joining me today is the social worker as well as a social and political pundit from Jersey City, New Jersey, Sean Defense, a.k.a. IQ. What's good, IQ?
Good evening, Rock. How are you? It's a pleasure to be with you again.
No doubt. And normally, Wise would be with us today. That's Sean Ennis, a.k.a. Wise from Atlanta, Georgia. But unfortunately, he is not with us, so Sean and I are going to hold it down today. But you can join us, and our number here is 347-215-7095. Once again, that's 347-215-7095. And remember, our blogs are open, but you need to register with us on blogtalkradio.com/Siren Media Radio. And it's still our Facebook page at Siren Media Radio. That's one word, S-I-R-A, Media Radio. And always remember that Siren Media Group is a multimedia company with a focus on music production, film, videography, photography, graphic design, and entertainment. Our radio show focuses on all of these elements, including social and political awareness. So, tonight's topic is crisis of fitness, staying fit when many African Americans die in their 60s and below. Very interesting topic today that I wanted to discuss, IQ. This week, on my wife's side of the family, we had several people pass away between here in Michigan and Ohio. Most of those people were in their mid-50s.
Wow.
Two of my closest friends that I used to perform with died. One was 32. He died of an ulcer. The other one was 38. He died of a heart attack. I've had several friends and family members who had heart attacks in their early 40s. Now, I know that genes play a factor in a lot of these things, but it's not just genes. It's also lifestyle, stress, eating habits, exercise. Even education plays a role in longevity. Statistics say even marriage actually helps to help you to live a longer life. So we're going to touch base on all of these different things, first off. And I think we're going to start out with the genes factor. All right. Now, I'm not a person who is a doctor as far as knowing about the genes and this and that. I do know that there is a hereditary situation when it comes to diseases and things like that, that if your parents or your grandparents or something like that had, like, let's say, diabetes or something like that, cancer, these are things that you need to look out for, you know, get tested for as you're going to the doctor all the time, like you should be doing, because sometimes it goes from one generation to the next. Sometimes it skips generations. Now, you know for a fact, our grandmother did have diabetes, so I'm always looking at that to say, okay, maybe this might be this might be something that skipped a generation and might come to me. But then there's other family members who had dealt with that. So your thoughts, IQ?
Well, first, I'm stuck. He was, Love was 32 when he passed?
Yes,
of
he
an
was.
Ulcer?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Grandma not only had diabetes, which both my grandmothers have, and my mother mm-hmm. has it as well, but then she had breast cancer.
Right. Right.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, these are things that we need to be aware of. And, you know, it's interesting that you suggested that we do this topic because I found myself within the past couple of weeks altering the way that I eat. Now, I did a fast during the Lent season, and mm-hmm. I took meat out of my diet. I didn't eat meat throughout the week. I ate it only on Sundays. And I found that my body responds to it differently now that I eat it. So now I'm incorporating more vegetables into my diet. Yesterday, I literally ate broccoli and cauliflower for lunch only. And I find myself going without carbs and eating less meat. I feel like my body is telling me it's time to cleanse. And I wonder if a lot of us get that same type of inkling or that same type of feeling when our bodies are trying to give us, you know, a little bit of hint, something's not right, you need to help me out here, and just ignore it, or are we just gluttons for punishment in terms of, you know, eating wrong, staying in high-stress situations? You know, and it's interesting that, like you mentioned, married couples, you know, they tend to live a little longer. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I have an uncle who's been married to his wife for over 70 years.
Wow.
And these two are the happiest people you could ever want to meet. You know, she's about to transition, sadly, you know, but these are the two happiest people you could ever want to meet. But you're right. We do not pay attention to our diets. We are in high-stress jobs, some of us. And some of us don't have high-stress jobs. We have high-stress lives. And we don't live healthy. It's not just about eating healthy. It's about living healthy, too. And I'm learning that the hard way.
And actually, that's going to bring us to the next. We're going to talk about stress in a minute. But with lifestyle, now, the one thing that to keep in mind is when you're younger, you can pretty much eat almost anything.
And
when you get older, we try to hang on to, you know, what we ate when we were younger, trying to still eat those things. And your body is changing to the fact that now you have to compensate, or rather you have to change your diet so that your body can digest certain things. Well, I'll give you a perfect example. I remember this guy. It was a white guy. And he and I were talking, and he was talking about, you know, he's talking about African-Americans, how, you know, a lot of times, you know, eating salt and all these other foods and this and that, that, yeah, eventually, you know, you have to go on medication. But here's the funny thing that I never thought about. He said, everyone, if you're going to the doctor and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, most people eventually have to go on a blood pressure medicine, because it's just through time that your arteries automatically harden. The difference is if you don't eat right, then you'll go on that medicine even earlier. That kind of threw me, because it's like, all right, so no matter what, you're going to eventually end up on it. So he said his blood pressure was low all the time. It was fine until he hit his 50s. I think he was close to 60 at that point. He said when he hit his 50s, his blood pressure started going up, and he would exercise, he and his wife, and this and that, but he had to go on a medication anyway, just because it needed to be controlled. So you can eat the right foods, you can do this and that, but just the mere fact that you're getting older and your arteries are not the same, you're going to go on medicine. Now, it doesn't help that we as African Americans have a diet that encompasses a lot of meat, like you were saying, fried foods, you know, different types of things that we eat, and it impacts our arteries and other parts of our bodies. So therefore, we need to go on medication early. On top of that, if your parents, and I found this to be really strange, if your parents are having issues and they're 20 years older than you, something like that, like I said earlier, that's something that you look at. But I know that I had a problem with citric acid, which I didn't develop. I mean, it was bothering me for years, but it really didn't develop until I was in my early 20s, I believe, and I actually became bedridden. So now I'm finding that my children at least my son, has little issues like that with the citric acid. So I didn't develop mine until I was in my late 20s, but he's having it now. So you can pass something down to your kids as well, and that's the hereditary thing. But I didn't mean to get off of lifestyle, because lifestyle is really what it is. So here's the thing, IQ. Why don't we instill in our children, eat right now. If you eat the proper thing right now, when you get older, you won't have to adjust what you're eating because you'll already be eating the right thing. So what's wrong with that message?
Well, I think what's, I'm not going to say wrong with it, but I think that we instill in our children what's familiar to us. Most of us don't incorporate a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables into our diet, and it's difficult to incorporate into our children's diet what we don't already have in ours. Now, as babies, they're eating jarred foods, which at that point they have a really good chance at having a balanced diet. But you and I both know when we're choosing options for our children, even when they're babies, we pretty much look for stuff that we would like to eat. Like I would look for things like chicken and vegetables or beef and vegetables, you know, things that I think would be good on my palate is what I was choosing for my children. But I think that we as adults have to have healthier choices in the things that we, and I also feel like as adults we need to incorporate more exercise into our daily routine. A lot of the things that we experience, like you mentioned the blocked arteries before, I think if we had, you know, healthier exercise routines, it would decrease some of our stress levels as well as it would help our bodies to help us to be healthier. You know, the body has a way of fixing itself if you give it the right ingredients, the right tools, in other words. Drink healthy things like water and, you know, fresh squeezed lemon water, you know, aloe juice, things like that, and, you know, eat fresh nuts, raw nuts, vegetables that are raw, you know, good healthy fruits, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
cause some of those fruits, you know, we really shouldn't eat too much of because, you know, you could sit at the table and eat a whole watermelon. That's not good. But it tastes so good. But what do? We take salt and put it
right
on the watermelon.
That's a family thing, you know that.
Or we'll slice a tomato. Or we'll slice
right.
a tomato and
year.
Put salt on there. You know, the things that we do that aren't, that isn't that good for us, it tastes so good, and that's why we keep doing it. If you can remember, Grandma could sit in her bed, slice an onion, and eat it. Ew! But
I never
remember
that.
She could slice an onion and eat it raw. Oh, my goodness. But my daughter can take a fresh red pepper, fresh green pepper, fresh orange pepper. She eats them like apples. She eats tomatoes. She eats cucumber. But again, her father and I introduced that stuff to her. So for her, it's a norm.
So maybe that's what we need to instill in our kids. You mentioned exercise. I'm going to come back to stress in a minute. You mentioned exercise, right? Now, it's funny because, at this point in my life, I'm in my 40s, believe it or not, and I can recognize, basically I'm up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm at the gym working out. Come back from the gym, and I'm done. Yesterday, I actually went to the gym in the evening. It's the first time I've done that in years since I lived in Jersey. I take that back. I used to be, a couple of years ago, I went to the gym in the evening after work. But I would go to the gym usually in the morning, but last night I went in the evening, completely a whole nother feel. Instead of rushing to get in and out of the gym, I actually took my time. Of course, I was very sore afterwards. But the point is, to take the time to work out your body. If you do that, your body will respond in a specific way. If you're working out and you want a certain body, then you have to work hard for it, and you have to work harder the older you get. You know, I always say to people that, like, I don't weigh that much. I probably weigh about 170 pounds, something like that, but I'm not that tall. So if I go over 180 pounds, I'm very heavy, I can feel me going up the steps, it starts to hurt my knees, you know, and things like that. So I can already know that, all right, here's my goal, and this is what I'm saying to people. You need to set goals for yourself. My goal is I want to come down to about 160 pounds, which will make me very skinny, according to my wife.
Ew.
Yeah, I'll be very skinny. that's my goal. I want to come down to 155, 160 pounds. Now, if I can do that, if I can drop just 10, 15 pounds, And my eating habits right now are in the process of changing. You know, I'm eating more vegetables. I juice, kale, and all kinds of stuff in the morning. I have more salads, things like that, even though today I had a Reuben sandwich. You know, try to change those things. But sometimes it's not something that can be changed overnight. Sometimes it takes time to change. And I think that people get it mixed up because they try to change things overnight, and then you go back to the same lifestyle that you were before. So between eating and exercise, it is very important, very pertinent to you living longer. Now, the one thing, IQ, I want you to explain this, the one thing to keep in mind is you can eat right, you can do all the right things, but sometimes your body just reacts in a certain way, and eventually, you know, even though you do the right thing, you still might not live as long as you project yourself living. Even though you did the right thing, you might still get cancer. You might still have a heart attack, you know. But the thing is, you have to try to live right and have the longevity. Your thoughts?
I was reading the other day, there's a woman, African-American woman, she's pretty young, and she's a fitness guru for the most part, and she developed colorectal cancer, and she ate right, she did the exercise, you know, she lived a clean life, but like we mentioned a little while ago, it's hereditary. So there are some things that you cannot control, but the things that you can control are the things that we need to concentrate on. Now, you mentioned that you had a Reuben sandwich. I would have a Reuben sandwich, too, and I wouldn't beat myself up about it, but if I had it for lunch, I would make sure I had a clean dinner, you know, fresh,
right,
a fresh salad, or, you know, totally organic and totally lean in terms of my vegetable and my meat if I was going to do that. I don't think we should punish ourselves. I feel like we should be able to enjoy life. I feel like we should be able to enjoy those sinful, soulful foods, but I also believe we shouldn't overdo it or overindulge in them. There's nothing wrong with squeezing fresh lemon in your water, room temperature, and drinking it before you eat and after you eat to help your body to cleanse itself, you know, if you're having fatty foods. There's nothing wrong with adding water to your diet in terms of making sure you drink it in the morning, drink it at night. If you don't do a lot of exercising, when you go to the mall, park a distance away from the mall. That walking, it makes a difference. Take
mm-hmm.
your time. Walk around the mall. All of those mm-hmm. things, they add up. If you live on the second or third floor, take the stairs 3 or 4 times a week. Those are things that we can incorporate into our day-to-day lifestyle that can help us in terms of diet and exercise. And after a while, you know, it kind of becomes habitual. After a while, you know, you might order a Reuben sandwich, but you don't eat the whole thing. You offer half to somebody else. Because
right.
although you wanted it, it was just the craving you wanted to satisfy. Not necessarily you wanted to sit and eat to get full. And that's another thing that we do. We eat to get full. We don't eat to satisfy our hunger. If we
right.
stop when our hunger is satisfied, it wouldn't be as bad.
Mm. And also, I want to move on to the stress factor. Cause you, I don't know about you. I know that with me, especially lately, a lot of things. I'm dealing with children of different
Amen.
Ages. You know,
Amen. 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 Amen.
Work, you know, alone,
mm-hmm.
staying late,
mm-hmm.
doing different things. I run Syra. Syra's a business with different people. And I have to deal with all these different people in different jobs and all kinds of stuff. You know, on top of that, I'm trying to, we're you know, eventually moving platforms to a new radio station. So we have that going on. So it's a lot of things that's going on all at once. So the way that I tend to deal with stress for me, and each person is different, but for me is, one, I try to make sure I go to bed at a decent time. That's the first thing. You got to get your sleep. Now, sometimes that backfires like it did last night. I went to bed a little early, ended up waking up 3 o'clock in the morning and stayed awake. Then the dog was barking and take him out. So, you know, sometimes it backfires. The next day you wake up, you're tired. But I still got up. I still went down, worked out, did what I was supposed to do. So you have to maintain that stress somehow. Also, I try to tackle one thing at a time rather than do 50 things at once. Sometimes you have to juggle 3 or 4 things at a time, but you need to focus on one thing at a time, get that out the way, go to the next thing, if you're able to do that. You know, now don't get me wrong, sometimes you're dealing with your kids while you're doing things with your job, and that can't be, you know, changed. You have to do that. But for the most part, you need to focus on one thing. When everything around you is chaos, you need to focus. And if you can do those things, and with along with meditation, some people try yoga, all those different things, then you can relieve a lot of the stresses in your body. And by relieving your stress, that helps your body itself stay stronger, your immune system stays stronger, so that down the line you can have longevity. IQ, your thoughts.
One of the things we have to also consider, and I'm speaking from a personal standpoint, is there are times when you have a lot going on that you don't think is affecting you because you feel like you kind of have things under control, but then your body lets you know that things aren't right. You find yourself eating stuff, you get indigestion more so, you find yourself a little bit more gassy, maybe your body isn't excreting on a regular schedule, in other words, moving your bowels. Those are signs that things are not right. Those are signs that even though you think you have it all together, you may not. And I'm speaking from a personal point of view, because my digestive tract always lets me know when my body is like, okay, you may not think you're stressed out, but you're giving me too much right now. And like you said, one of the things that I had to learn how to do, like literally in the past couple of weeks, is take my time and like focus in the moment. Like, what is it in the moment that needs to be done? We'll deal with everything else later, but what's the first on a list of priorities? And I feel like the past couple of weeks, since I've been doing that, I feel a little bit better. I'm sleeping now, because for a while I wasn't even sleeping. Like, I was walking around zombified because I had a lot going on and I was pretty much ignoring it. But my body was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to shut you down if you don't sit yourself down. So, you know, we have to pay attention to the things that our bodies are telling us. And like you said, you know, if you focus and prioritize, maybe you can figure out a way to get yourself in a mindset where you can do what's going to be in your best interest, because nobody wants to leave here sooner than necessary. I don't know too many people who want to leave this earth in their 20s and their 30s unless they're sick and suffering. I know I'm not trying to go nowhere no time soon.
You know, it's funny because I always think about how if I can focus and get everything in order, which is a task in itself, then I have peace of mind. Each person is different in terms of what they do. I like peace of mind. I like having things in place just in case an emergency happens, then it won't stress me out. I don't like having stress. It's impossible to fulfill that, though, because you can try all you want, but there's always something. Case in point, so today, you know, a lot, I do the bills for our house, and I was explaining to my wife, I said, well, you know, I got this going on here, you know, I got some money going in here, I got money for the car, just in case the car breaks down, I just paid this bill, just paid that bill, you know, oh, we don't have as big a cushion as I want, but hopefully we could do this, and I'm working some other stuff and doing it. So it's a whole big thing, and I'm saying to her, you know, you need to learn these things because if I'm not here, you need to do them. And there's moving parts all over, you know, which is a whole other thing. We don't teach our children about finances, you know, when they're younger. We don't do that. And because, well, I try to do that with my kids now as far as, like, their allowance and all of that stuff. But I was taught to sit and do your bills, but I wasn't taught how to balance everything. That you're going to have multiple things at the same time, and you need to balance all of those things, and this is how you run your household. Yeah, you look at the sample of it, but to physically sit down while they're doing it and you do it with them, I haven't done that. You know, so now I'm finding myself doing it myself, you know, because I have to. You know what I'm saying? And when you're in a partnership, because I'm married, when you're in a partnership, you know, my wife has to be incorporated in that. If not, then she's going to feel like, you know, she's not where she's supposed to be. So basically, this is, you know, what we're doing. So for the most part, stress is a big part of, you know, this whole trying to stay healthy. You need to balance your lifestyle spiritually, physically, and what's the other one, IQ?
Mentally.
Spiritually, physically, and mentally. you have to have that balance. You don't have that balance, then forget it. Your thoughts?
I also feel like when you're in a partnership, although you're stressed, together you guys are stressed, you know, and it's not so bad. So for those of us who do not have the option of a partnership, you know, like you said, yoga, meditation, prayer, you know, whatever it is that could clear your mind a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but when I feel like the world is coming down on me, I'm not thinking about going out and getting me a fruit salad. I want me a warm walnut brownie with some vanilla ice cream on top of it, which is the reason why we're having this conversation in the first place. Because, you know, a lot of times we do what feels good, and we have to get to a place where we do what's in our best interest, financially, spiritually, emotionally, and, you know, so we can be better people and teach our children. And no, it's not.
It's not easy. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. It's easy for me to say, you need to eat right. You need to go eat salad for lunch. It's very easy for us to say that. It's very difficult to implement that and stay with it constantly. You can stay with it for 3 days, but that fourth day, you might be tired of that. And you might want something else.
My coworkers are looking at me crazy when I took meat out of my diet, you know, during the Lenten season. But they're looking at me even more so sideways now because I can go without meat now because I did it during the Lenten season. And they're like, what's going on? My body is telling me that this is what's in my best interest, so this is what I need to do. You know, you have to pay attention to what your body is saying to you. And, hey, not at the end of the day, I need my body to survive. Hello? You know, I think if some of us were to listen to those cues we get, we may not be at the doctor as often, or maybe we can stay off that high blood pressure medicine.
Right, which reminds me, people need to go to the doctor at least once a year. At least once a year, go to the doctor, get a physical done.
Women twice.
You have other issues going on. You got to do that. Enough of us don't do it, oh, I'll be all right. And the last thing I do want to touch base on, if something was wrong with you and you went to the doctor and they told you it was nothing, and the next time something else happened and you go to the doctor and they say it's nothing, and that third time it happens, don't say, I'm not going to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor anyway. Let them check.
Go to a different
doctor. The reason
why,
just like the friend that had the heart attack, first time he went, they said it was all right. Second time he went, he had some issues, but he was okay. Third time he went, they were going to do some kind of a test on him, and he was like, no, it's probably the same thing, and he ended up dying. And this happens constantly to a lot of people. So please go to the doctor again if you have to. If you've been to the emergency room already twice, go again if something turns out to be bad. If not, it can mean your life. And we're going to have to leave it there, IQ. So thank you for joining us tonight on Siren Media Radio. You can hit us up on Facebook at Siren Media Radio. That's S-I-R-A Media Radio. And on Twitter at Siren Media Group. For questions and comments, you can email us at smr@sirenmedia.com. From Sean Defense and myself, Dwight Walker, we'll talk to you next Thursday at 6:30 p.m. God willing, remember Psalm 37:24. Peace out.
God bless.